Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a moment, the book Bush Must Go, the top 10 reasons why George Bush doesn't deserve a second term by Bill Press. But first, the big news of the day. Over in Iraq, we've got heroes who are fighting terrorists and insurgents wishing they had Saddam Hussein back. An airstrike on a believed safe house for al-Zarqawi in Fallujah. The U.S. military has demolished that safe house, the suspected hideout, and says that at least 16 people were killed, and apparently several houses in the immediate vicinity were destroyed also. Brigadier General Mark Kimmett, the military's deputy operations chief, said that multiple intelligence sources suggest that a significant number of people in the Zarqawi network were in the house at the time of the attack, and that apparently multiple secondary explosions showed that this was an ammunition and weapons storage facility also that could have caused some of the casualties and damage in the neighboring buildings. Now, this al-Zarqawi, who is this guy? Well, a little over a year ago, Jordanian authorities said he's the mastermind behind the murder of American Lawrence Foley, who was ministering U.S. aid there in Jordan. A German court said that, in fact, a Palestinian terrorist in a German court last year said al-Zarqawi was the one plotting to attack Berlin's Jewish museum and a Jewish-owned disco. He said that they had met in Afghanistan. German authorities said that this guy was appointed by al-Qaeda to arrange attacks in Europe. The Moroccan government said al-Zarqawi ordered the bombings last May that killed 45 people in Casablanca. And, you know, our group, Bob Enyart Live, we're just back from 3 weeks in Turkey, and officials there said Zarqawi is believed to have played a role in the bombings that killed 63 at two synagogues in Turkey and the bombings of the British consulate and a British bank in Istanbul. So real good news that we are aggressively going after the bad guys. And now the book, Bush Must Go, by Bill Press, the top 10 reasons why George Bush doesn't deserve a second term. I'd love to talk through this list with Bill Press because I've never been a supporter of George Bush. We're conservative Christians here at Bob Enyart Live. We've never encouraged anyone to vote for George Bush, and I have not, and don't plan on voting for George Bush. But Bill Press, thanks for joining us here at Bob Enyart Live.
Hey, Bob, it's good to be back with you again. I guess you've got your reasons for voting against George Bush, and I've got mine.
Yeah, so if I were to write a book.
You should write your top 10, and I've written mine. You write yours.
I could write the Bush Must Go top 10 reasons, and they would be the exact opposite of your reasons. But let's talk through your issues.
I guess the right and the left meet coming the other way.
I don't agree, because my reasons are all the absolute antithesis of your reasons. But let's go through, Bill, if we could, your top 10 reasons. And folks could find them at billpress.com. But, of course, you might want to get the book and read the entire argument.
As a mutual friend of ours yesterday said on the radio, I was talking with Sean Hannity. He said, of all the Bush-bashing books, this is the one you ought to read. So,
well, and he really, did you, well, I don't know, were you angry at Sean for on the Fox News show Hannity and Combs? When he played a fast one on you, Bill, but I sort of thought it was fair. He put up quotes from Bill Clinton and from John Kerry, which you would condemn as being the lies of Bush, but then he revealed they weren't Bush's quotes. They were your guys' quotes. They were Clinton and John Kerry.
Now, first of all, I didn't recognize them at the time, but I'd heard all of those quotes before. But I think I'll make the same point that I made with Sean, which I think is a valid point. Clinton believed Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. So did Al Gore. So did John Kerry. So did Hillary Clinton. You go down Madeleine Albright. You go down the list at the time.
So did the French, the Germans, the UN.
But they did not take this country to war based on false premises. George Bush did. It's his war. He's the one that must be held responsible.
Well, for all my complaints against George Bush, I'm thrilled, even if it were a madman who took a murderous tyrant like Saddam Hussein and eliminated him so that tens of thousands of Iraqis can no longer be systematically tortured and murdered, children tortured in front of their own parents. Even if a madman somewhere in the world, if it took a madman to get rid of that kind of government, then we should be thrilled that the madman acted. And here is the world condemning Bush, I think, because it's all politics, because they hate Bush more than they love the Iraqi people. And that's what differentiates, Bill Press,
I disagree with you. I don't hate George Bush. I love America, and I want America to stand for something. And one of the things America has always stood for is the rule of law. Here at home and internationally. And I believe this was an unlawful war. We went to war without justification. We were not attacked. He did not attack Saddam Hussein, one of our allies. He was an evil, brutal thug. We're better off without him.
Saddam Hussein.
There are a lot of evil, brutal thugs in the world. You know, Fidel Castro, Kim Jong-il in North Korea. Go down the list.
Bill Press, it's a straw dummy to say that if you don't capture all murderers, you shouldn't capture one. And let's talk about this.
It's not a straw dummy to say.
No, it is.
The most serious decision a president makes is to take this country to war.
That's right. And Saddam Hussein had tried to kill George Bush Sr., if you recall. He had fired on our American warplanes that were trying to keep Iraqis in the north and the south safe. These are all acts of war, and we had a ceasefire.
Bob,
yeah.
How many of our planes did he hit, let alone shoot down, in 10 years?
He hit none.
None. We go to war because he doesn't hit one plane.
We had a ceasefire, if you recall, and that ceasefire was violated for 10 years by Saddam Hussein, while Clinton, who I despise tremendously, while Clinton sat by and let America be a joke, and Saddam Hussein do you know that he killed thousands of Iraqis with chemical weapons? Do you know that, Bill Press, or do you keep that out of your mind?
Now, of course he did. He did that in the 80s. Now, where did he get those chemical weapons?
He did not get it from the United States. That is not true.
He got it from U.S. companies. It is documented.
That's
two,
not. Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. That's a lie.
Bob,
no, you're not going to number two till we talk about that, Bill.
No, number two,
unless you retract that, because what Iraq got from American pharmaceutical companies is what any country in the world could get.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
You're going to let me complete a sentence, or else the next tone you're going to hear is a dial tone.
Well, that's fine. Please retract the lie that we gave chemical weapons to Iraq.
American companies sold they sent him
to produce anthrax vaccine. Anthrax, it wasn't even regulated everywhere in the world.
They sold him the materials with which he made biological and chemical weapons, number one. Number two, he used them in a war, the Iran-Iraq war, in which we were supporting Saddam Hussein. Number three, after he used them, we said absolutely nothing. We did not condemn it. We did not complain. In fact, former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld went to Baghdad, sat down with Saddam Hussein, and basically said, "We're still buddies." Now, that's the history. You can deny it. That's the history.
I'm not going to deny it. To whatever extent we aided Saddam Hussein when we should have known he was a murderer, we should be condemned as doing wrong. But you know, when you're fighting against madman, like for example, we were allies with Stalin. Stalin ended up murdering 20 million of his own people, but we helped him to destroy Hitler. So sometimes international relationships get really ugly, and then down the road you look back and you say, you know, Stalin was worse than Hitler. But I'm not going to condemn FDR for working with Stalin at the time. And so if we look back and we see we should not have supported Saddam Hussein, we should have had greater wisdom. That's not an excuse to allow him to continue raping, torturing, and murdering thousands of Iraqis every year. That's a cop-out, Bill.
But you also cannot come along and say, well, 20 years ago he did this. Now, this year, 21 years later, 24 years later, we're going to go to war against him. That's not sufficient reason for war. And
no.
George Bush didn't say he had chemical, biological weapons, he had weapons of mass destruction 24 years ago. He said he has them today. He has stockpiles of them.
Right.
He has moved them to the front lines to use against our troops. That was totally false. And there were CIA warnings and State Department warnings that told the White House this was not true, what the president was saying, and he said it nonetheless, and he took our sons and daughters to war on false premises.
Well, the for one, it's thrilling that America is the country in the world that had the guts to stop a murderous tyrant like Saddam Hussein. So I'm thrilled about that. But as far as the weapons of mass destruction, the UN, the French, the Germans, the Chinese all believed that Saddam had chemical and biological weapons. And to think that he wouldn't give some of those, small quantities even, to terrorists who hated America as much as he hated America is Pollyanna. It's absurd to think that he wouldn't give anthrax to terrorists if he could do it and get away with it.
He had lots of opportunities to and he never did. Saddam Hussein, or not Saddam Hussein, an Iraqi intelligence official, as you know, went to the Sudan, met with Osama bin Laden. Bin Laden, like he had asked other Arab leaders, he endured through this agent. He asked Saddam Hussein, I want to put terrorist camps in Iraq, and I want arms for my people. And Saddam Hussein said, no. He said, no. He did not give assistance to Al-Qaeda.
Yeah,
so
and
what was
yes,
the threat to
Bill
the
Press,
States?
He I
did
could
not have
Bill,
the weapons of mass destruction.
Bill Press,
he had no news.
I could interpret that for you. Saddam Hussein was not a big fan of Al-Qaeda because it was an extremist religious terrorist organization.
Right. Well, tell George Bush that. Tell George Bush.
So they weren't chummy, but to think that they weren't allied generally in their hatred of America, and Saddam was not going to go out on a limb and put himself in danger to help Al-Qaeda. But if he could help by funding Palestinian terrorists, which he did for every successful suicide attack.
What does that have to do with the United States?
What does it have to do? We are in a war against Islamic terrorism.
So he gave the families of the suicide bombers in Palestine
$25,000.
$25,000. You know who else did?
Who?
The royal family of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and that's
they
despicable.
Had telethons you where
keep...
the royal princes would raise money. Now, are we going to war against Saudi Arabia?
Bill,
and if not, why not?
You keep justifying wrongdoing by pointing out other wrongdoing.
I'm just pointing out the illogic of
no,
every argument
Saudi,
of yours.
Saudi Arabia.
You're off the wall.
Saudi Arabia for decades has been playing both sides of this battle, and we need to increasingly put pressure on them. Hey, they just.
No. Let's go to war.
Well,
let's take them down. Let's take that regime down because they have aided and abetted.
You prioritize the dangers in the world. And if Saudi Arabia had been attacking their neighbors and openly and bragging, we have to investigate to see that they're funding terrorist attacks. And they do it under the table. Saddam's doing it publicly. Go ahead.
If you go to Saudi Arabia today, the schools are teaching, madrasas are teaching anti-Americanism.
They're doing it in America.
In the mosques, the imams are preaching anti-Americanism. Everybody knows that.
They're doing it in America, Bill.
The Saudi Arabia businessmen are funding the Al-Qaeda. We all know that. Saudi Arabia passed because they've got oil.
No, that's not, well, Iraq has oil. We didn't give them a pass. You prioritize the dangers in the world, and Saudi Arabia is at least ostensibly moving toward a stronger stand against terrorism, just like Libya and Gaddafi. He, on his own, because of his fear for America's stick in the war against terror, he is willingly. So the terrorists have lost three governments now, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Libya, as places where they can find aid and comfort and support. That's good. Isn't that three countries whose governments no longer support terrorism?
And then there's North Korea. You talk about priorities.
Yeah.
North Korea has nuclear weapons. North Korea has a missile that can hit the west coast of the United States, right?
Well,
now,
we think
Bill Clinton told George Bush, is a much greater threat than Iraq, which didn't even have a missile that could go 200 miles. Again, why don't we go to war against North Korea? You know why? Hey, because they have nuclear weapons. We went to war against Iraq because it was easy, and George Bush wanted to do it for political reasons.
And Bill Press, let me, when we look at the mess of the aftermath in Iraq, and it's a mess perhaps because we rewrite our opinion of history every 7 days in America on a news cycle.
Well, it's a mess because they made no plan for post-war Iraq.
No,
You've got to admit that.
Well, they didn't.
Zero plan.
Here's where they lacked the wisdom and the foresight, and I think you lacked it too. I haven't heard anyone in the media point this out, that this war made history with the precision-guided weapons we used and with the mercy of the American military might, how we did more in any war in history to target just the combatants. And when you do that, after World War II, the people of Japan were sorry. The people of Germany and Italy, the entire populations were sorry, and they had a respect for the victors because the populations paid a price in that war. Now, we're thrilled that we can go to war and mercifully target the combatants, but there's a consequence. And the consequence is the people are not sorry. The people suffered more under these insurgents than they did under American forces. And so they're not afraid of America. So when the insurgents look for support in Fallujah and elsewhere, they're getting it. So we need the wisdom to understand this is a new era when we use precision-guided munitions. The aftermath for the victor is going to be much more difficult.
I think you're dead wrong. And you know what? You have no idea that what you say is true. We have no idea how many thousands and thousands of innocent Iraqis were killed in this conflict.
Well, the estimate is 9,000.
Were military targets, Bob. I mean, what are you smoking in your Christian church?
The estimate by liberal groups using media reports is 9,000 since the war began, which is Saddam killed more than that in an average year apiece of his own people, and that includes all Iraqi combatants and civilians, and it doesn't distinguish, I don't think, the Iraqis killed by other Iraqis.
I mean, you just said that we basically just all hit military targets. Now you say we've killed 9,000.
No, 9,000 total
9,
Iraqis.
Comes from. I've never seen that before. Well, but I know is we have never been given any accounting of the Iraqi civilians who are dead. I know the news media has asked for it. The news media has asked for it, and the Pentagon refuses to give that figure.
Well, the Pentagon doesn't keep those figures, but
they should.
I think if you
Don't
go
you
to...
Do you think an Iraqi life is worth an American life?
Yeah, sure it is. But when you're at war, it's not your job to count the death toll on the other side. That's not your job. And there's a website. I think it's called iraqibodycount.org. Yeah, it is. Here it is. And this is... they've got a minimum of 9,400 and a maximum of 11,000. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think that even includes Iraqis killed by these terrorists and insurgents. And so, and that in, that includes military.
But I, look, I
I'm sorry.
The fact
I'm sorry. I made a mistake. That doesn't include military. That's the liberal claim of how many civilians have been killed during the war.
Well, why do you say it's a liberal claim?
And since.
Why do you say it's a liberal
claim? Why? Because the slant of the website. That's why I say it's a liberal claim, because it's in their favor.
Yeah, because liberals count bodies and conservatives don't.
No, it's because it's in their favor to exaggerate. See, we had Saddam Hussein who murdered his own people. Whenever a government does that, any nation in the world has the right to stop that government.
Look, this occupation is a disaster. It's been a disaster. They said we were going to be greeted with rose petals instead of rockets.
We were initially.
People there don't want us there because the same reason they didn't want the British there. We are an occupying army, number one, and number two, we don't have sufficient troops on the ground to keep them safe or to keep our own troops safe. And it's all George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld. They believe Ahmed Shalabi that... we were going to be greeted as liberators.
Well,
it's simply not true.
Maybe you didn't watch it initially, but in the first days we were. But then as the insurgents continued, their fear for the insurgents because the insurgents were targeting and killing Iraqis by the hundreds. We had more care for the life of an Iraqi than Saddam Hussein, his army, or these insurgents and terrorists. Would you agree with that,
well,
that America's
so.
Military?
No, I would hope so.
Would you
would
agree with that?
I would hope we have a higher standard than Saddam Hussein.
Other than your hope, but you agree with that, right?
No, I do.
Right,
sure,
okay.
We're Americans.
All
I mean,
right.
I do think we are better than those thugs and those tyrants.
All right.
But that doesn't mean that we did the right thing with this occupation. We grossly underestimated the number of troops that would be needed and the difficulty.
Yeah, I agree. And the reason I think is because we did not and we still don't comprehend the ramifications of precision-guided missiles. We didn't realize when you don't inflict punishment on a population, then the insurgents and the leftovers will continue to make it miserable for you. You think the Germans loved us when we defeated Hitler? You think the Japanese were thrilled that Americans were in Tokyo? If their populations didn't suffer the way they did, we would have had the same exact aftermath in Japan and Germany. Don't you agree?
I find that a repulsive argument. I find it
Why would
shocking.
It be repulsive?
I find it shocking.
I don't get it.
Coming from a Christian
Why?
Minister who in essence is saying that in wartime you should kill all the civilians you can because then they'll be
all
afraid
right.
of us.
All right, I understand why you're repulsed at that, but what I actually
said well that's exactly what you're saying. Well, your logic.
Well, Bill Press, what I said was I'm thrilled that our military is as merciful as it is in that we could use precision guided missiles to go after the combatants, but we have to realize there's a consequence. The nation is not repentant and it's not thankful for the victors who liberated them.
I don't know any people who are proud of their heritage who welcomes an occupying
the
army.
Germans and the Italians and the Japanese were truly repentant after World War II. They were sorry, and if anyone would have raised their head or raised a rifle against an American in Tokyo, there would have been 10 Japanese to kill that person because the nation paid a price, which the nation of the Iraqis didn't pay that price. At the hand of Americans.
I think we beat this to death. You and I disagree.
All right. Your second reason was that Bush made us less safe from terrorism.
Well, I think he has. I mean, I think the war on terrorism is basically a PR operation. Now, first of all, I think overseas, I think the war in Iraq, and I just look at the facts, has generated more terrorism, not less. George Bush said it would be just the opposite. But here at home, you know, what has the war on terror really resulted in? It's resulted in a huge new government bureaucracy, the Department of Homeland Security, which is so incompetent and so inefficient, you can't believe it. I don't think the solution to every government problem is to create a new government agency.
All right.
But so that's what George Bush does. And what have they done? Okay, they've made it more difficult. And believe me, I've been flying around a lot the last couple of weeks with my book tour. It's more difficult to get on and off a plane. There's no security on the perimeter of the airport.
Of course it's more difficult. Of course.
No security at nuclear power plants. No security at the refineries. No security at shopping malls. I mean, we are so vulnerable.
We have tens of thousands of containers coming in on shipping vessels.
Exactly.
But you can't search them all. Bill Press,
maybe of those are screened.
But you can't.
Going into the belly of an airplane.
But you can't, Bill Press, you can't search them all. It would increase the cost of everything double. You want to really punish poor people? That's the difference between liberals and conservatives. We say you have to have a deterrent so that nations will be deterred from supporting terrorism. Don't you agree that now the terrorists have lost their support from the governments of Afghanistan, Iraq, and Libya? Don't you agree they've lost that?
In fact, where have you been? There was video last week of new Al-Qaeda training camps where? In Afghanistan.
Well, that
Why?
Could, that
because
could, that
Afghanistan,
could be.
The only thing we control is the city of Kabul. We have our forces are there protecting the city of Kabul and the new government there. The rest of the country, they're growing opium poppies again, the biggest poppy crop ever this year, and the Al-Qaeda have moved back in and they have their training camps in Afghanistan.
And if
now,
the
you
government,
tell me that's a success.
If the government of Afghanistan finds out the location of an Al-Qaeda training camp in their country, do you think they're going to tolerate it, support it?
I don't think they can do anything about it.
Or do you think they would do?
I don't think they can do anything about it.
Do you think they would ask America for help or do whatever they could to destroy it? You don't even admit that the government that they've lost the support of the government of Afghanistan.
But I think this is another example of how, Bob, we would have been much better off to stay on target. we would have been much better off to stay in Afghanistan, to stay on the track of Osama bin Laden because we had him on the run, to really clean up that country and do the job. Instead, we abandoned it right in the middle of the course and went off on this great big diversion to Iraq where there were no al-Qaeda and no terrorists.
So I look at Afghanistan as it is no longer a haven, a safe house for terrorist groups. You're saying it is.
I'm saying there were videotapes last week about al-Qaeda training camps in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan is a big country. There are wackos in America. Did you ever go to Montana?
You said it's not a safe haven. It is a safe haven.
It's not because...
It's become, again, a safe haven for terrorists.
It's not because if it's known, that camp will be destroyed. If it's a credible report and it's known, the Afghanistan government, if they can't do it on their own, they'll ask us. This is what I think, Bill, when I hear your arguments.
You're just naive. The Afghan government can't even protect their president. American soldiers are protecting their president.
I just said
can't arrange a two-car funeral.
If they can't, they would ask us to do it, and that means that al-Qaeda no longer has a safe haven with the support of the Afghan government. They lost the support of three governments, major terrorist-supporting governments. That's significant. Now they've got to hide, and if they're found, they're gonna run or die. That's significant. That means there are three states that are not supporting terrorism. You act as though that's nothing.
It is absolutely meaningless. There are al-Qaeda terrorists all over the world.
And the more that
focused on Iraq,
the more that go to Iraq, Bill Press.
I'm all for the war on terror. I'm a hardliner in the war on terror. I supported the war in Afghanistan. What I'm saying is, stop kidding yourself. Iraq has nothing to do with the war on terror.
When we were fighting in Afghanistan and the press was wringing their hands saying that there are Pakistanis and Saudi Arabians going through the porous border into Afghanistan to fight us, at Bob and Yurt Live in Denver Bible Church, we were raising money to pay airfare for terrorists to go to Afghanistan. We want them to go to the battlefield. When the lines are drawn and there's soldiers there to fight terrorists, we want that to be a magnet so that they can come out from under the rock and show themselves so that we can kill them. We don't want to be sitting ducks in America and Chicago and wait for them to come here and kill us.
All right, now I've got to go soon. So tell me why you don't think George Bush should be reelected.
Because I think that abortion is the murder of unborn children, and anyone who would appoint judges to continue this Holocaust of over a million American babies slaughtered every year doesn't deserve to be a leader.
So you don't think George Bush is pro-life?
He says he's pro-life, but in the presidential debates, he said it was not his goal to overturn Roe v. Wade, and he doesn't look at abortion when he nominates judges. He filled the Texas Supreme Court and other courts in Texas with pro-abortion judges. They gave us the worst abortion ruling in the history of Texas, his own judge. He says he's pro-life. He gets the Christian vote, and he nominates pro-abortion judges, and he brags about it.
Why did Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson support him?
Because we conservative Christians are so desperate for a seat at the table. We're just desperate to be kingmakers. And so even though, look at the U.S. Supreme Court, seven of the nine were appointed by Republican presidents, and it's a pro-abortion Supreme Court. So that's what we do, Bill Press.
Okay.
We're hypocrites.
All right, Bob in here. Good to join you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And we recommend your book to find out what the other side is believing. It's Bush Must Go, the top 10 reasons why George Bush doesn't deserve a second term. Hey, you're invited to Denver Bible Church this Sunday. And check out the website, kgov.com. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.